Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, I could stop right there and preach for about 3 days or maybe a week or so just on that one verse of Scripture. The apostle Paul, he says that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. In his latter days, he was not a servant unto Jesus Christ, but he was a servant to the flesh. And you know the history of Paul, you know the account of Paul separated unto the gospel of God. I've got to move on. That's a whole lot of preaching there. Verse number 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now he's writing the letter to the church at Rome. It's believed that there's more than one church at Rome, but he's writing to the churches or the church at Rome. And he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now I want to take a time out right there and say that very thing this morning. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Amen. For each and every one of you. I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for my church family. For those that are named or that named the name of Christ that are saints. Amen. I thank God for them. And maybe some that's not even here today that's been in my life. I thank God for those. Amen. That serve the Lord. That gave me a reason to look toward the individuals. Amen. Because of their faith. Because of the life that they live. Been a great blessing. Amen. For those I've met along the way. That's been an example to me in the ministry and as a believer. Paul says, first, I thank God that through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Our faith ought to be spoken of. Amen?
Amen.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. I'm glad we have mutual faith. Amen?
Amen.
Now I would have you not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul didn't say, I'm not ashamed of my reputation, that I'm going to preach my reputation, I'm going to preach my good works to you. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not Paul's reputation, it's not Paul's character that saves individual, but it is the power of the gospel. Amen? That's what does the work. So verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things, verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What Paul is saying in that verse, two verses of Scripture, is that in creation all men know there's a God. Amen? God revealed himself in creation that there is a higher power, there is a God, and he has revealed himself in creation, and that all men are without excuse. They can say all manner of excuses, give all manner of excuses, but the Scripture says no man has an excuse. They know within themselves, the atheist and all the others, that says there's no know God. They know within themselves there is a higher power, and He is the Creator God. Amen. Because, verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful. There's the agnostic, there's the atheist, and all those that knows there's a God, but yet they don't recognize Him, they reject Him. The Bible says they knew God, yet they glorified Him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, placable and unmerciful. And the Bible says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God, watch this, but the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Amen. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and heart, to trustest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness, a judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doth evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You remember that phrase? It was mentioned in the very beginning. That salvation, the power of the gospel, it's offered to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, those that reject the gospel, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles and to the Greek. Amen. There's wrath. There's indignation, those that obey unrighteousness and indignation. There's tribulation and there's anguish upon every soul that doth evil. The Bible says in verse number 10, for glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. We'll stop reading there. Sake of the message this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us, Lord, to be in Your house this morning. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the precious Word of God. I pray to illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. Help me, Lord, to say all that's well pleasing in Your sight in this day. And Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your many blessings. Thank You for the good songs, Lord, that we've heard this morning. Thank You, Lord, for watching over Your people and taking care of us, Lord, and the many blessings we've bestowed and have enjoyed. I pray, God, that You just have Your willing way now in all that's said and all that's done. Lord, hold back all the opposing powers, Lord, and the hindrances of this service, we pray. Your name be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' living name we pray. Amen and amen. We find that we look through Scripture that the book of Romans is an orderly presentation of the gospel. It is the way of salvation. Amen. The book of Romans answers the great question, how can man be righteous before a holy God? In yourself and in your flesh and in my flesh, there's nothing righteous. Amen. The Bible teaches us through the book of Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. How can man stand before God, a holy God, in sin? Sin never enters heaven. Amen. And man can never get to heaven in their sinful ways, in their sinful flesh. So the book of Romans, it deals with that. There's the term justification. That word justification has been declared some by some that it means the justified had never sinned. But let me just clarify that a little bit further. The word justification means I'm declared righteous in my ragged unrighteousness and my ragged clothes and my worthless flesh. I am declared before God through Jesus Christ righteous. Amen. That's a new meaning to the word justification. Not justified and never sinned. I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. There's nothing good about this rotten flesh, but it's all about Him. Amen. And I've been declared righteous. The word justification means declared righteous. It's found in the book of Romans. The term righteous and righteousness and justified are used at least 49 times in the book of Romans. Now listen to me real quickly this morning. I'll try to get through this. Most people think that salvation is by works or by religion. Even by some professing Christians, they think that their salvation is by works or by some religion that they're a part of. Some people think by being good, you'll get to heaven. That's a work salvation. Amen. Won't never get you there. You'll come up short. Amen. Some people think by being a church member and being some part of some religion that'll get you to heaven. That won't get you there. You're going to come up short. Amen. On the day that Jesus comes and raptures out the church. Now, let me give you this. I found this and I thought this was very interesting. There's an author, a very famous author. Most of you know him by Mark Twain. That was his pen name, but his real name was Samuel Clemens. And he wrote several books, of course, and many of you probably read most of those books. I haven't read all of them, amen. Probably don't remember me in the first one. But anyway, I found this as I was studying. But Mark Twain, or Samuel Clemens, grew up in Missouri in a part of America where there are many churches. In his day, a large percentage of people in Missouri towns attended church. In his book, Life on the Mississippi, Clemens observed that on a typical Sunday in St. Louis, that at least 140,000 people attended church services. That was a 35% of the population of his day in Missouri that attended a church service. He attended Sunday school himself as a boy, and he married a Christian woman. Then he never understood the gospel. One boy was very wicked that he grew up with. Let me back up. I missed it in his book. He told about two boys there in Mississippi where he grew up. One was a very wicked boy and cared nothing about God. The other boy was religious and tried to live a good life and memorized many verses of Scripture. Both boys drowned, and Clemens was confused because he thought that God had rejected the people and rejected bad people and accepted good people. He said, if a boy who knows more than 3,000 verses of Scripture by heart is not satisfactory, what chance is there for anybody else? The book of Romans answers that question. Amen. It answers that because the Bible says in the book of Romans that all men are sinners before God. Amen. Everybody that's ever born is a sinner before God. And God does not accept anybody by their own righteousness. You can quote the entire Bible. That's not going to get you there. Amen. And He accepts every sinner that comes to Him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. We find that Romans is the first place that we should look for the doctrine of salvation. How do I get to heaven? What's going to get me there? Many times we ask the question whenever we go outdoor knocking or try to witness to someone. We ask the question, would you like to go to heaven? Well, that's a stupid question to ask. Amen. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But how to get there is where people fail. They're telling them how to get to heaven. It's not by being a church member. It's not by being a Baptist. Amen. It's not by having the parking lot paved. It's not by good works, but it's through the doctrine of salvation, which is laid out in the Scripture. The very first thing that you and I should do is study the doctrine of salvation. So I know myself that I'm saved, and I can tell somebody else how they can be saved. Amen. Proper method of Bible study is to develop doctrine that is clear doctrinal passages in the Scripture and interpret the less clear passages with this teaching in mind. We study the doctrinal things that are taught in Scripture and we focus on that. And then the things that's not so clear, we take those things that are clear, amen, and we clarify those things that are not so clear. Does that make good sense? Amen. That ought to be pretty clear. Amen. False teachers, on the other hand, often develop their doctrines from parables and from passages that are not clear and are not directly addressing the doctrine that they're trying to develop. There's many folks that say that you can lose your salvation. They take the parable of John chapter 15, which speaks of the fruit of the vine. And John is a parable that Christ is teaching, dealing with the life of a believer. And many people take that, and the false teachers, they take that to John chapter 15, verse number 6, to support the fact, or to support their doctrine that you can lose your salvation. What happens there is those that know the doctrine of salvation can teach against that. That's not what the Bible's teaching, but it causes confusion. Amen? And we all know that God's not the author of confusion. Amen? 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, verse 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so we don't listen to those false teachers. Amen. And we know our Bible. We study the Bible. We study the doctrine of salvation. Romans gives the whole theme throughout the book of Romans is the gospel. Amen. That men need to be saved. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you about 15 things real quickly. Amen. No amens. How about five then? First of all, I want to share with you, according to Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, we find there's the power of the gospel. There's no other power, amen, that can save a soul. There's nothing has the power to change lives like the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We find the power in the gospel. Amen. Paul was a brutal man. He was anti-Christ. He was against Christ. But yet, he was met with the power of God, the power of the gospel on the road to Damascus. And everybody knows the history of the Apostle Paul. What happened after that? Amen. It was the power of the gospel that changed his life. Amen. It is a life-changing gospel. Amen. We find the person of the gospel in John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. You ought to shout right there for a little while. Amen. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah, this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not condemned. Amen. Amen. You're not condemned. But those that have rejected, amen, they're condemned already because they have not believed. Christ is the key to the gospel. He's the person of the gospel. You leave Christ out and you have no gospel. Amen. Christ is what makes the gospel different from every other religious belief. Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest of them have not the power that Jesus Christ has. Amen. They're still in the grave. You go to the grave of Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest of those religious believers, amen, the rest of those leaders, you'll find their bones. But you go to the grave of Jesus Christ, the person of the gospel, you'll find no bones. You'll find an empty tomb, and you'll find that He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for you and I. He's the person of the gospel. Find also the purpose of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 again in verse number 16. The purpose of the gospel is salvation. God is a just and a holy God. We all are guilty sinners before God. And it is necessary that you and I and every person in this world that we have righteousness that we may appear before Him. And in our flesh we can never attain that. We can never have the righteousness that we need to stand before God. The only way you can do that is through the Messiah. There is such a righteousness brought in by the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is made known in the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to save people from eternal damnation of a place that's not mentioned much in our day, but it's a place that the Bible calls hell. Right. It's still a literal place. Amen. There's a crowd. There's a religious crowd that like to say that the hell is going to be here on earth. And hell is not a literal place. And hell is a figment of the imagination. But I got news for them. The Bible says, God's Word said, that there was one in hell that lifted up his eyes being in torments. And he begged for water. And he begged for mercy. That tells me there's a literal hell. Amen. And it's a place that all that reject the gospel are going to find themselves, because the gospel is to save people from hell. Amen. The gospel is good news that salvation is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest need that every man has is salvation. The greatest need that every woman has is salvation. The greatest need that every child has is salvation. People in our day are so concerned about the outcome of the presidency and the outcome of the election and all that. The greatest need that we have today is not who gets the office. The greatest need we have today is souls be saved from hell. Amen. The greatest need man has is salvation. There's nothing else that compares. The songwriter had it right when he wrote the song, "Christ is all I need." Amen. If you got Christ, you need nothing else. You got all that you need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Hey man, there ain't nothing you need that God can't supply. Hey man, that'll help a church build a building. Amen. There ain't nothing we need that God cannot supply. If you have Him, you have it all. Amen. And not a child of God, there's not a saint in the world that can say that they're bankrupt because God couldn't afford it. Amen. The purpose of the gospel is that souls will be saved and lives be changed. And listen, folks will be snatched from the gates of hell. The possession of the gospel, the Bible says, Romans 1 verse 16, once again, anyone whosoever believeth, amen, in the gospel, one can possess the blessing of the gospel by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works. It's not what we do. It's through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Amen. This may be elementary to you. You may say, "Preacher, I'm tired of hearing that same old message. This is old-fashioned Sunday." Amen. What did they do 50 years ago, 100 years ago? They preached the gospel. Amen. That same gospel preached in those days is the same gospel we need to preach in this day. And it'll still save old sinners if they'll heed the gospel. Saved by grace, not by works. Listen, a man should boast. Money will not buy it. Can't buy your way into heaven. Good works won't gain heaven. The only way to possess the gospel is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Find the person of the gospel, or people of the gospel. I'm sorry, the people of the gospel. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is for everyone. Right. Red, yellow, black, or white, they all precious in His sight. Amen. Talk about racism in our day, and so many people tore up about racism. I'm not racist. Amen. I got a color TV. I'm not a racist. Amen. God's interested in souls. The souls of a black man is just as important as the souls of a white man. Amen. Soul of an Indian is just as important as the soul of an African. Amen. They're all important. The people of the gospel, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. The gospel is not limited to any race or any nationality. Romans 10 verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Acts chapter 10 verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Amen. Man, God's interested in the souls of men. I'll give you this quickly. I'll try to anyway. The purity of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, it is written, the just shall live by faith." Man cannot be saved until he first realizes that he's lost. Man cannot be saved whenever he wants to be saved. Hello? Man can't be saved when he wants to be saved. There's not a drawing of the Holy Spirit. There's not a convicting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not at work. The man cannot make a profession and be saved because he wants to.
Right.
Amen. It's only through the drawing, through the work of the Holy Spirit, amen, that man is saved. There's been many that's led folks at the altar and talked to them about salvation, and they're interested in heaven, and they'll lead them in some false prayer, and they'll go away thinking that they're saved when the Holy Ghost wasn't even on the scene. Man can't get saved until he first knows he's lost. Paul's preaching the gospel, and he began to preach. The first thing that he taught was God's holiness, God's justice, and man's lost condition. The problem we have in our days, most of the time we don't want to say anything about man's lost condition. We don't want to talk about how wicked they are and how bad they are. Oh, everybody's a good person. Everybody means well. No, they're wicked, amen. They're lost and they're undone. They're without the Lord Jesus Christ. They need a Savior. They don't ever see their need of a Savior. Why would they want one? Paul begins to preach and he shares God's holiness, God's justice, and man's lost condition. The gospel begins with the bad news of man's condemnation before it gets to the good news that God offers salvation. It's like a man that goes to the doctor. He'll not go if he don't think he's sick. Amen. If he thinks he's sick, he'll go to the doctor. If a man thinks he's going to die and go to hell, he'll seek the Lord. Amen. He'll want to know if there's any remedy for his soul's condition. The Gentiles are condemned. Amen. And they have no excuse. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, through verse number 32. They're condemned because they have rejected the light of creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. I'm not going to read all that for the sake of time. Man can know from creation that there is an all-powerful God. They have no excuse to worship idols. They have no excuse to worship themselves. And they have no excuse for worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. It's no excuse. They're without excuse. They'll stand before the Lord and try to make excuses, but they will not have any excuse. They're condemned because they knew God in the beginning, but they rejected Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32. Men knew God in Adam's generation, but they rejected. The gospel, like nothing else, tells man what is right and what is wrong. God's righteousness will inform man of his sinful condition. It is the power of the gospel. God's righteousness will reveal sin. The gospel, as read in verse 16, is the power of God unto salvation, because by it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the mediator. It's called the righteousness of God because it is God's providing, it is God's pardoning, it's God's approving, it's God's accepting. Amen. And for the sake of which God pardons our unrighteousness and receives us gracious. Hallelujah goes right there. Amen. It's the righteousness of God because it's God that provides. It's God that pardons. It's God that accepts. Amen. This righteousness is by the gospel revealed to bring about faith in men, and such faith that grows and increases from one degree to another. There's no possible way for the justification of a sinner, Jew or Gentile, except through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Give you this quickly and I'm done. Find the performance of the gospel. Verse 17, the just shall live by faith. The person becomes saved, they live a different life. Amen? There's a difference. Some people say, well, I'm not a judge. I'm a fruit inspector. You're a judge. Amen? You not know that we judge the angels? You not know that? The saints of God are going to judge the angels. Amen? That's what the Bible says. We're judges, amen, and we're judges. Everybody judges. Well, I don't want to be too judgmental. Grow up. Everybody's judgmental, amen. You can tell somebody's saved by the life they live. And we're taught that in Scripture. That's what John 15 is all about. Those that bear fruit, amen. Those that show the life of a Christian. The just shall live by faith. There's a difference, amen. It's a much better life and it's a much holier life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? There's a difference. It's a better life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a different life, amen, in the believer. There's a performance of the gospel. Not only does it save us from a devil's hell, not only does it justify us and declare us righteous before God, but it gives us a changed life in this world that we're living in right now, amen. It's a holier life, it's a better life, it's a sweeter life. If you don't believe it, just get a hold of a little bit of the Lord, amen, and you'll be amazed at the difference he makes in your life, amen. I wonder why they shout and why they cry when they sing, amen. I wonder why the preacher gets so wrapped up in his message. I'll tell you why, because there's a difference when you know the Master, amen. It makes a big difference in your life. How do you go through some of those things in life? How do you deal with the circumstances of life? Well, it's easy when you know the Master. Romans chapter 8 verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. What things? Well, he just mentioned the persecution, the trials, and all the things that's going to come at us. Amen. The distresses of the world. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him that loved us. Paul said as he's writing to the church, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessing to know the Lord. Amen. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Think about that for a little while, amen. James chapter 4, I'm quitting. Go to now, say ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. On this old-fashioned Sunday morning, I wonder how many people truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. I wonder how many people in our families that realize the sincerity of hell, the reality of hell. It is a real place. Amen. And Jesus is coming soon. And very soon. And they may be left behind. There may be movies that's put out by Hollywood. There may be others that write books and all kinds of lies that say that there's a second chance. Those that have heard the Lord or heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and have the gospel presented to them, there is no such thing as a second chance. There may be some listening today by way of social media. There may be some listening on Marco Polo, whatever the outlet is that they're listening. They may be some today that's on their way to a devil's hell. You and I as believers, it's our duty. It's our God-given duty to pray, to preach, and to tell, and to send forth the gospel message. For it is the power. It's not in your abilities. It's not in my abilities. It's the power of the gospel to save those which believe. Let us pray that God would use Midway Baptist Church to see many a soul saved in these last days. Amen. Because we are definitely living in the last days before Jesus comes. Let's pray, earnestly pray, that God would greatly use us and allow us to see souls saved and lives changed for His glory and for His honor. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, this morning for the privilege You've given us to be in Your house.